You know, quite often things associated with Atlantis hunting or alternate history in general just get dismissed by academics. That's understandable as to why. I mean, you want to get labeled a kook, study UFOs, and make a big deal about it, right? So it comes as no surprise that these megalithic metal clamps that we're going to discuss, that Graham Hancock and guys like him like to use as evidence for cultural diffusion across time and space and way across the Atlantic, right? Not time and space, like beep, 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 beep. But anyway, it comes as no surprise that these things are pretty much understudied. And that's not entirely accurate. It's not that they're understudied in the regards that, you know, academics haven't looked at them. It's just that they're not presented in any sort of a manner that's satisfying to us, the alternate historians, right? There's no consensus on the, like, this is where it started, this is the last time it was used, this is where it was passed along. There's no pretty arrows and these little charts telling you where it went from one culture to the next. There's kind of none of that. It's just like, well, this site used it, maybe they got it from there, whoop-de-doo. There's a couple of papers that I was able to find that were helpful, and a couple of individuals, but as I was researching this, 35 different sites that I found, and I had to dig pretty deep. Now, thankfully, there is one Jeffrey Vanderlucht on Twitter, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, with a bunch of pics on the clamps and the paper that I found that laid out possible influences and variations in styles, but the paper only covers Southeast Asia. Now, these were a pair of very important, informative resources that saved me a lot of time. Go follow Jeffrey, link below. Now, to be clear, I won't be covering every site around the world. There's hundreds, probably thousands of them, but we will be covering every major culture, every major site, and we'll be discussing the dating of those sites and how that dating was obtained, if it's just scientists guessing or if it's a written record or if it's solid carbon dating or what. We'll be discussing, you know, how they might have come up with this technique in that area to begin with. Is it cultural diffusion? Did it just kind of pop up there? Did they invent it? How did that go down? And ultimately, we'll be discussing which ones of these sites could Graham Hancock reasonably cite as evidence for his lost civilization. Which sites here show evidence of cultural diffusion that academia doesn't currently accept? And now, to be clear here, I for those of you who haven't watched me before, I'm very middle of the road on this kind of stuff. I have one foot into science and I have one foot into, like, the mystery side of this stuff. So I will be looking at this from both perspectives. But like AJ from the Weiss file says, when you can explain away a lot of something, what's left is a lot more fun, right? And that's what we're doing here. We're distilling this. There's a lot of clamps used throughout history. There's people that still use them today. That's obviously not signs of a lost civilization, right? So we're going to weed out a bunch of them, and the ones that are left are going to be really difficult for somebody to say, well, we know for sure where that came from, because, well, no, that we'll be talking about that. So please don't click off the first time you hear something you don't like me saying. And for those of you who are all into debunking this stuff, well, stick around, because you're going to find a lot of easy ways to debunk a lot of these sites. So you might not like my end conclusion. A lot of people won't like my end conclusion, but that doesn't really matter. We're here for the data, not for my thinking, right? Well, anyway, strap yourselves in. Get a big cup of coffee or something, because it's going to be a long one. Hi, I'm Dan, and welcome to Debunking. Before we dive into the sites, a few basics. Clamps or cramps or metal ties or butterfly ties or ongjong, meaning hidden or stashed away, or whatever you want to call them, these things are something we see in ashlar masonry. Ashlar masonry means masonry with little or no mortar used, like most megalithic sites. Now, of course, this requires a different sort of technique than traditional masonry. Mortar acts like glue, and this is where the clamps come in. They are used to tie blocks together, and we see them all over the ancient world. In some places, they look like the builders hadn't really used this technique before, and in other places, it looks so normalized it seems like a standard was used, one tie every two blocks or something like that. Obviously, this method worked well. It was replicated across the ancient world, and there is no denying it is an elegant solution to the problem. Metal bends when stone breaks, and using metal ties on the seams allows the structure just a little more wiggle room if the earth shifts or something like that. Now, while we do see a few wooden versions in the record, it seems that metal was the preferred material, and the wooden ones do seem to be a substitute. We do also see a few stone ones. From my research, it seems that no culture that didn't work metal created these ties. So while we may only have an indentation left where the clamp used to sit, tests have shown metal was the most commonly used material by a country mile. So we shouldn't expect to see this in places where metal is in short supply or working it is an unknown technology. While we do see wooden ones, mostly in Egypt, these seem to have been either a ceremonial temporary use, something to hold a block into place while the construction was underway. One more thing before we jump into this, there's a serious lack of information on these clamps, so sadly from time to time I won't have a picture of the clamps at the site in question. Okay, without further ado, let's look at the clamps and the sights across the world, with one eye looking for a mainstream explanation and the other eye looking for mysteries. It should come as no surprise to anyone that our first stop is ancient Egypt, specifically the mortuary temple for Unas at Saqqara. Located just east of the pyramid for the same pharaoh, it utilized what are presumed to have been bronze clamps in its construction in 2420 BC, over 4,500 years ago. This date is found by historical accounts. The carbon dating of the nearby pyramid does go back another 150 years, to be honest. Being the first pyramid to include pyramid texts, it also looks to be the oldest known site in Egypt with these clamps, at least according to the official dating of the region. Near the temple of Luxor itself, there are several statues, many of which are heavily damaged or eroded. One of these shows signs of repair using clamps. The construction of the Luxor temple complex happened at around 1400 BC. This date was obtained through the Luxor building texts, taken from the walls of the temple itself. Now, there is a possibility that clamps at Luxor are a product of the Roman renovations of the site that occurred in the late 3rd century AD. As we will see later, the Romans used these a lot, and their long-reaching influence must be taken into account in order to find places that use these clamps that were truly anomalous. There are similar bowtie-shaped holes where some sort of clamp went, present at Karnak. Stone seems to have been a popular medium for these clamps in ancient Egypt, but we find wooden clamps here. The site was built over a long period, from about 2000 BC to 400 AD, so the exact time the clamps were placed is harder to pin down than usual. Written records tell us how long the site was used for, and this is corroborated by the carbon dating, although this doesn't help much for determining how long ago the first clamps were used here. Two wooden clamps found at the site have two different dates. One was carbon dated to about 200 BC, the other to about 1000 BC. Here's one that's an old favorite thanks to the contested dating of the site. It utilized stone clamps, and some of these still remain in situ. It was dated to the time of Seti I, around 1300 BC, but this is based on Seti's name being carved on the stone structure, not contemporary writings or carbon dating. As such, the date of this site is very much up for grabs for the alternate historians out there. As we are all well aware, the Osirion is full of mysteries and intrigue, and much of this is due to its different style of construction and lack of evidence to inform us about when it was made, what for, and by who. Out of all the sites listed so far, this is one that a debunker is going to have a hard time truly debunking if somebody says it's associated with a lost civilization. We just don't know enough about the site to make many definitive statements. Another contender for the first use of masonry ties is the Valley Temple of Khafre at Giza near the Great Pyramid. It had bronze clamps in the stones as seen here. Dated to the reign of Khafre, big surprise, the dating was achieved with written records and carbon dating. Predating the use at Saqqara, assuming all the clamps were part of the original construction, the use of bronze ties seems strangely absent from the pyramids themselves. Perhaps deep inside we will find some clamps one day, but for now it seems that they weren't used in Egyptian pyramids proper. Famous for the zodiac, the melted stairs, and the Dendera light, Dendera was a popular ceremonial center for quite a long time. It also features the clamps we're discussing, of course. It goes back into pre-dynastic times, the site does, not the clamps. The Temple of Hathor has a megalithic porch, I guess you could call it, that's covered with the familiar bowtie shape of the clamps that are now missing. The temple is said to have been built in the year 54 BC. The dating is taken from written records. The porch may be older, I can't find any reference to it being carbon dated or the like. As a matter of fact, they tried to use dendrochronology, that's tree ring dating, on a mass that they found there, but they don't have a reference for 4th dynasty Egypt for tree rings, so they can't really discern anything. It seems to me that this could be another place to look for fingerprints of Hancock's gods. We'll move on from Egypt now. While there are other sites we could find these clamps, these are the ones that I believe are the most noteworthy. They show the dating disparity in some of the sites, the three different materials used to make the ties, the problem with other cultures, namely Rome, when trying to determine the origins of the clamps, and of course, that we do have two sites that are the best potential that we've come from a lost civilization so far. So let's move on and see what other sites existed in the region who utilize these clamps. Probably the most famous building in the Acropolis, the Parthenon was one of the earliest Greek structures to incorporate metal masonry clamps. They used them a lot, and they also used metal dowels as well, rods made to fit and spread the load of the structure through other blocks. Construction began in 447 BC, and it took 9 years to complete. It uses iron for the clamps and lead for the dowels, and in most cases, the iron was coated with a thin layer of lead to protect against rust. The site is dated by carbon dating, context dating, and of course, in ancient Greece, we have a whole lot more written records than we do in ancient Egypt, and they're also used to date the site. The use of metal to support ashlar masonry became very popular in megalithic Greek temples. They spread to the practice across the region and actually used much larger pieces of iron down the road. Like the Romans, we will have to be aware of the trail of influence that they leave in the wake of their power. Another site with a long history, the Temple of Apollo at Delphi was built in 420 BC, which is known from written records, luminescence dating of the marble, and radiocarbon dating of a bit of bone. The area was occupied as long ago as 1500 BC, according to the carbon dating. The clamps are used in the construction of the temple, but also seem to have been employed later at the site to repair the altar of the temple itself, also called the Altar of Cheons. The clamps here are almost certainly indicative of a technique they picked up from the Egyptians or perhaps the Sardinians, as the clamps don't show up at this site on anything older than the temple. We'll discuss the Sardinians later in the video. Located near the ancient Greek city of Rhepes lies a little-known temple of Trapeza. Built in the 6th century BC, it contains iron double T-shaped clamps. It was dated by written records and contextualization of construction methods such as the type of terracotta tiles used for roofing. As you can see by now, the Greeks use this a lot. Now, we could go over many more such sites, but they all end up the same, much later than the alternative historian would be looking to find, and the dating is generally pretty solid. But we're doing this as a process of elimination, and we have had some sites so far that are hard to date reliably, and we have eliminated a few false leads. Knowing the Greeks use this a lot is important, and moving forward we will continue to see that their influence is undeniably large. For example, in Turkey, we may find that their methods are being used. Located a fair distance from Greece, Zernaki Temple in Turkey has our clamps in it, and some scholars argue that it is clearly of Greek design. Now, many have claimed it is of the Utilitarian civilization, but in the 1990s this was challenged. The use of the bow tie shaped clamps is cited as one reason for its age, depending on who you ask. The dating of the site is very much up in the air. There's a grid system that doesn't line up exactly with what academics would expect to see with an ancient city's layout, and there's very little in the way of datable remains found at the site. If someone was of the opinion Anatolia was a place where a lost civilization decided to spread their knowledge, this would be a potential place to hold up as being the origins of the clamp technology in general. Perhaps the Egyptians learned how to use these clamps from the builders of the temple at Zanarchy. Perhaps it's the same people that are responsible for the earliest iron smelting we find in the ancient world. As I've said before, I believe that the iron plate Howard Weiss claims to have found in the Great Pyramid may well have come from trading with these early iron workers. Check out this video here if you're interested, link below. At any rate, this is one of the sites the alternate historian can look at without wasting their time on things we know the history of. Because the more writing we get from a culture, the better we can date their buildings, and none of the civilizations we will be discussing today came close to leaving us as much written material as the Romans did. The capital of an empire, the Roman Forum, was built up over centuries, but the major work we see today was done in the 1st century AD. There are clamps present, well, the empty spaces where they once were. The site was thoroughly looted, even the metal stolen. Important structures on the site go back as far as 800 BC or so. It is the seat of Rome, after all. Dating here was done by robust written records and carbon dating, with the majority of carbon dates giving a 400 BC range as a medium. The occupation of the site goes far back into prehistory, but the clamps came at a much later date. Given the quote, "I found Rome a city of brick and left it a city of marble," from Augustus, it does seem the majority of the fancy stonework here was done after he took power. It would stand to reason the technique of using clamps was picked up from the Greeks and then used to legitimize the Romans as the new power in the area, inheriting the, you know, tradition that the Greeks and the Egyptians before them had. Now, I doubt any of you need an introduction to this masterpiece, the Roman Colosseum, the symbol of ancient Roman architecture itself, and of course, it had clamps involved. It's pockmarked now with holes from the looting of the metal that was used to bind the stonework together, and it was completed in about 80 AD, and we have written records and radiocarbon dating that confirms this dating. Not that many of you needed told that the Colosseum wasn't made by the Romans. A great example of how we as amateur researchers should utilize the connections between these sites and eliminate the mundane ones as we look for examples that offer more fantastic possibilities is the baths at Caracalla. The dating of this site is up for grabs in a firm data sense. There's no writing or dating done that I could find to pin down the construction of the site. There's references in the record, but nothing considered conclusive by academics. However, it is easy to look at the site and see it's a Roman construct, and the clamps that are used are part of this complex. So while the proposed date of 212 BC is quite possibly wrong, if we're looking for evidence of an ancient lost civilization in the form of clamps, this site really offers us nothing of interest. Well known for being buried by the ash from Mount Vesuvius and giving us a very unique window into ancient Roman culture, the fountains at Pompeii sometimes show signs of clamps being used. The fountains are old. The site was settled by the Greeks in the 8th century BC, and Mount Vesuvius erupted in 79 AD, so there's almost 1,000 years there of occupation by ancient people before the eruption. Now, the dating to the site was done by radiocarbon dating and written records. There are some bone fragments that offer dates as far back as 5,000 BC, but scientists are of the opinion that this is an anomaly. At any rate, the fountains are most likely repaired with the clamps. Probably they were Greek construction and the subject of a Roman repair job. I mean, after all, the fountains would probably be the most popular place in the city, and wear and tear would eventually cause repairs to be in order. Just like with the baths at Caracalla, if we are really looking for evidence of a lost civilization, this site is not helpful. Still, it is one of the most amazing sites in ancient Rome. No discussion of the Roman use of these clamps would be complete without mentioning the iconic Roman Keystone Arch. The Arch at Aquino, formerly known as Arco di Marcantonio, uses these clamps. Clearly a Roman arch, it is dated to the 1st century AD by written records, and the city itself was occupied from 400 BC or so until the present day. We see from the use of the clamps by the Greeks and Romans, this technology was heavily utilized and very widespread by the advent of the Iron Age. Egypt, Greece, and Rome, all leaders of the ancient Mediterranean world for a time, utilized these clamps. And all of these cultures, they didn't just conquer their neighbors, they traded with far-flung empires. Few of these people had actually ever laid eyes on. But still, techniques travel, people talk, and cultural diffusion happens. Also known as the Zhaozhou Bridge, this bridge is the oldest bridge standing in China today. It was constructed over the course of 10 years, from 595 to 605 AD. It is covered in the bow tie-shaped clamps, quite obviously incorporated as a planned part of the construction of the bridge. It is dated by written records, which are robust. The similarity between the style of clamps and those used far away in Rome, Greece, and Egypt is indicative of this technique being passed around the Old World, and the dating seems to line up with this. By the time we see this bridge, Rome had been a thing for centuries. The Tomb of Master Shi, also called the Tomb of Werkhok, is like most tombs of a culture with good written records. The dating is pretty secure. In this case, Master Shi is said to have died in 579 AD, and the tomb finished the next year. Utilizing the clamps we've been chasing around the world, this site is dated by written records and context dating of artifacts found in the tomb. The sarcophagus itself has the same bow tie clamps we've been seeing for a while now, and this seems to have been popular in Chinese tombs during this era. Believed by some archaeologists to be the tomb of Emperor Jaimin, the Northern Wei Imperial Tomb is dated to around 530 AD, and this dating was done based on the content of the grave goods that weren't looted by the tomb robbers who visited the site at some point in the distant past. One of the most interesting things that they left behind was a single Byzantine gold coin. Now, obviously trade existed between the cultures somehow, that's how the coin got here, and with this trade presumably would come knowledge, like how to build more advanced ashlar masonry, for example. There's a single stone block that shows signs of being clamped, and this block looks to have originally been part of the foundation. Now, this causes some academics to believe the clamps are present under the stone that rests on top of the other foundation stones, which would make this the first known architectural use of the clamps in Asia. Now, of all the sites in China, this is the most likely candidate for being out of place. The lack of clear dating, combined with the massive guesswork involved, does leave room to speculate the foundation stones were placed far further back in time, and when they were reused, at least one was no longer needed. Part of the Qianling Mausoleum, the tomb of the child Li Jingzhong, is one more example of a tomb using these clamps, this time again used in the sarcophagus itself. The dating is pretty secure, as the mausoleum was built for the remains of the House of Li, the royal family of the Tang Dynasty. Written records say it was built in 684, and while there are reports of radiocarbon dating backing this up, I have to admit the article that claimed this provided a source that I cannot locate any record of having existed. So perhaps there was no carbon dating done at the site? I know it's frustrating when this thing happens, but I can't find any other reference to the site being dated with C14. Anyway, the writings are robust enough, and the sarcophagus is pretty firmly dated. Once again, we see those bowtie-shaped clamps. Now, we've seen them used in China all over for small-scale masonry and for larger architectural projects as well. But now we also will see them in repairs in the future, like we did in other cultures to use them. One of the three famous grottos carved in the stone at China, the grotto at Yangon has a gigantic Buddha, and this statue has been repaired with the bow tie clams. The first construction phase is dated by written records to the 4th century AD, and later construction projects most likely repaired the statue. Luminescence dating has been done on some of the pigments used on the murals here, but these are all much more recent than the written records say the site dates to, which of course makes sense. You gotta carve the walls before you can paint them. Now, as I'm sure you've noticed by now, in China we only really see one style of clamp, the bow tie. This is a strong indicator of a shared tradition, one that may well trace its roots back to Egypt, Rome, and Greece. However, the Chinese have some feisty neighbors, and this culture has also used the clamps, but in vastly different shapes across their territory. These beautiful pagodas are part of the Gaemunsa temple site in Korea, a place that commemorates the Korean victory over the Chinese invaders back when the Chinese were the Tang Dynasty and the Koreans were called the Silla. China became a conglomerate over time, absorbing people into its umbrella who didn't share a language or culture or much else, but Korea always gave them a hard time, always fought back, and this tenacity is still apparent in the different ties that we'll see throughout their sites. Right here we see the double T that we haven't seen since we left Rome. Written records and radiocarbon dating confirm the site was finished on or around 682 AD. The Samguksagi, or History of the Three Kingdoms, is a Korean written history that was finished in the year 1145 AD. It covers the history of Korea, and it says that in 761 AD there were two bridges built by King Gyeongdeok of Silla. Historians believe this is referring to the bridges of Waljeongdo and Cheongyeongdo. Both bridges have metal clamps. These ones are double D clamps, I guess you could call them. Now leave your jokes in the comments section, please. Thank you very much. The bridges date to 761 AD, if the interpretation of the history of the Three Kingdoms is accurate. There's been tons of radiocarbon dating done at the royal city of Gyeonggi. It's known as an archaeological treasure trove for the history of the Korean peninsula. And this is no exception. We don't just see the double D clamps here. Oh no, we see the double T clamps and the bow tie clamp. All over, used near each other, seemingly at the same time. Perhaps experimentation with different styles of clamps was being done? Hard to tell, but we do know that the bridges aren't so ancient they qualify as potentially directly influenced by a lost civilization, but they do show signs of more than one influence in using clamps. The Korean clamps are actually the ones that I referred to as the Songjong in the opening, the hidden clamps are stashed away. The Koreans like to hide their clamps, far more than the Chinese or the Mediterranean people that we covered earlier. Near the Gameunsa Temple is the Bulguksa Temple, and its large pagoda features the double D clamps we saw at the bridges. Written records say the original temple was built in 528 AD, and the current temple was built in 751 and took 23 years to finish. The site was destroyed by bombings in World War II, and only the pagoda remained. It was restored in the 70s. It seems those D-shaped clamps became popular in Korea because we keep seeing them pop up over and over again. Another grotto carved into the side of a hill, the Seokgorum Temple itself contains the hidden D-shaped clamps. The grotto was said to have finished being constructed in 774 AD by written records, those being the only dates for the temple I could find. While the age of grottos themselves are hard to pin down, this type of construction, weathering, and symbolism tell us that the temple was built around when it was said to have been built. Now, Korea may seem to offer nothing to the Atlantis hunter, but the different types of clamps being used, as well as the desire to constantly always hide them, are signs of a different influence, perhaps a remnant of an older tradition that lingered in the culture. Of course, China and Korea are not the only nations in Asia. Not your son, but my son. Look, I'm a dad, and this was the easiest dad joke setup ever. I don't even know what to tell you. A temple complex in Vietnam that has been built over a very long period of time is the My Son Temple Complex. The earliest agreed upon construction began here under King Bhadravamrim sometime around 400 AD. I'll put his name on the screen. Bhadravamrim. Jesus. The site was continuously used up until the 15th century when the Cham people, the original builders, lost that area to the Viet people. The dating is done by context, both of art and architecture, and with written records. Of course, we see clamps here, the double T-shaped ones we've seen around the world at this point. The dating of the construction is a little vague, but the context is pretty solid. So looking much further back into prehistory than the 4th century AD would be a waste of time, in my opinion. The Ta Prohm Temple in Cambodia was built by King Javayarman VII, the same king who built Angkor Wat and Angkor Thom in 1186 AD, according to the stela on the side. Radiocarbon dates show construction of the site ended in the 14th century. It also tells us the site was occupied for hundreds, perhaps even a thousand years after the construction of the temple. The temple has numerous metal clamps of the double T variety and a lot of holes from where they were looted. The site itself may date back into the dusts of prehistory, but the clamps are pretty clearly in the context of part of the Khmer people's explosive building projects under King Javayarman VII. For example, Angkor Wat also has some of these clamps. On the south side of the Edo Castle in Japan lies the Nakanomon Gate, a large opening in the wall of stone defending the perimeter. Built in 1457, the written records are strong. This is less than 600 years ago, after all. Clamps were revealed during the demolition of some of the wall during renovations. Reminiscent of the Korean tradition of hiding the clamps, they're in the familiar bow tie shaped, and they weren't exposed to the open air. Carbon dating has been limited to determining what people ate and what certain things were done at the site, but the dating of the castle walls, including the gate, are done by context and written record. Now, Asia is not the only place that has outliers. The Western world has several outliers as well. Cyrus the Great passed away in 530 BC, and his tomb in Iran became a thing of legend. Written about by Greek historians, the site does incorporate our masonry clamps. It is pretty clearly dated as a straight-up tomb, and we know when Cyrus died. But here we see the influence of Egypt, or perhaps someone else, in 500 BC Iran. This technique seems to have spread like wildfire amongst the cultures with the wealth and means to use it. Now, the only dating at the site does look to be written records. A natural formation of rock, said to have been sacred since the pagan days, Exerstein, Germany, has a masonry clamp or two holding rocks together. Archaeoastronomy has been used to propose a variety of dates for the site, but the archaeology shows little usage after 9000 BC until about 1000 AD. The masonry tie that we see is a flat bar of iron, which is indicative of it being much more recent than the rest of the site. The site itself may well have been sacred in the time of Göbekli Tepe and Plato's Atlantis account, but the clamp is almost certainly far more recent. The iron wouldn't survive 12,000 years in the elements, and a flat bar of iron seems to be the kind of thing that's manufactured in more of a manufacturing facility, whereas a tie that's shaped like a butterfly or a bow or something like that, that seems like something that was more handmade. The massive cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris needs no introduction, but it will provide a solid example of a site that we have great records of, no real debate as to when it was constructed, and it uses masonry ties and clamps. The cathedral was built in 1163 AD. We know this from written records upon written records upon written records. There are several alternate history type mysteries people put forward about Notre Dame, but the clamps aren't one that's worth pursuing here. A Roman settlement in what's now Bulgaria, Nicopolis ad Istrum, has several masonry clamps utilized in the site. The familiar bow tie shape we've seen the Romans use in Rome is also present here. Built around 100 AD, written records tell us it was founded by the Emperor Trajan. Radiocarbon dates at the site have been a bit unreliable, but there's little question the masonry clamps are of Roman origin. They're the same style, used in the same style of architecture, and were employed in the same manner as the other Roman clamps we've seen. The island of Sardinia was home to the Nuragic civilization, so named for the Nuragi, these big stone towers. The only site with metal ties used to hold megalithic blocks together is the Arubiu Tower, one of the many Nuragi. In 1500 BC, about 3500 years ago, the tower was built, and it uses lead clamps. The dating was obtained through context dating to pottery and graves from nearby settlements, which were dated through carbon dating and petrology. Sardinia does have large lead and copper deposits, and these led to the Nuragic civilization being great metal workers for the day. They used lead to repair pottery, and they also used it on this one tower. By all accounts, it's the only one that they did, from what I can find. The people were also expert sailors. Many scholars believe them to be one of the groups that made up the Sea Peoples. Now, it stands to reason that they could have picked up this technique from the Egyptians and emulated it on the island, although it's worth noting that the largest of the Nuragi is the Arubiu Tower, and it's dated by context. The metal used was lead, much easier to smelt than iron, so it is very possible that the Arubiu Tower is much older. Now is the part where we have some explaining to do, because we are not going to find many historians who will accept the clamps here came from contact with other cultures. But here in Tiwanaku, we see the clamps employed at Pumapunku, the gate of the Puma. Radiocarbon dates have put the first occupation of the site at 1500 BC, but this has been challenged, and currently accepted date for the earliest occupation is AD 100. Now, we have myths that put the site back into prehistory, but these, of course, are not considered valid by historians. Archaeoastronomy work here has been done to date the site, and as those of you with experience in that will know, this is really only viable if we have strong knowledge of their locals' traditions, which we don't. Now, excavations here, like all the sites in South America we will cover, are barely existent, so we do have a strong lack of data when it comes to the age of the site in general. While a historian can safely tell you when the Parthenon was built, the same cannot be said here. An educated guess based on threadbare data is really all we have when you compare this to the old world dating. As is evident by the constant changing and refining of the dates by historians, no less than 3 major revisions have occurred in my lifetime on this site alone, and the debate seems far from over. No long tradition of using these clamps is apparent in the region. It looks like they just popped up here and in a couple other places, and then were forgotten about as a building technique. Coricancha is the Inca palace that once occupied the tallest hill in Cusco, Peru. It has some of those clamps as well in what's left of the original masonry. The city itself has been carbon dated extensively with the dates of pottery, samples collected from debris found between the stones of megaliths, and the occasional bit of wood remaining in the ancient structures being the samples in most cases. The dates are pretty consistently between 500 and 1500 AD. There is a large issue when it comes to the dating of the Temple of Coricancha itself. It has been demolished and a Spanish church built on the site. The stratigraphy violated heavily to the point where some academics are slow to use architectural styles to even date by context in the immediate region, as the style in question has questionable dating to begin with. It is known the area was sacred for a long time. Some scholars actually believe the term Coricancha refers to the rock the city was founded on. It is the site of the Inca navel of the world, a place of legend and of myth, and a place where those clamps just happened to pop up. Ollantaytambo is the last site we will discuss. It also has the clamps, the same style of double T clamps we saw at Cusco. According to legend, in the 15th century AD, the Incas conquered the region, destroyed all the structures there, and then rebuilt. The carbon dating does support this, although the same issue exists here as the other two sites in South America that we've covered. The samples that they're referring to are the easily collected ones, and little in the way of proper excavations have actually been done at the site. But even that legend that gives us the 15th century AD dating, well, it does tell us that the site dated further back into history. They destroyed the site. They didn't just move in and start building in nowhere. So this does hint at the Incas perhaps borrowing some of this masonry when they rebuilt, or perhaps taking some techniques from prehistory. Now, the fact that these clamps show up before the Spanish is something mainstream history has explained away by claiming the indigenous people of the region independently invented the technique. Now, in my opinion, this is a poor explanation. We did not see this independently over and over again in the old world. Considering there are carvings of bearded people and statues in the region that depict people with characteristics that are not typically associated with indigenous Americans of the time or place, the possibility that this was brought from the old world is something worth considering. In the old world, we have a very clear line, if it's starting in probably Egypt and then being spread throughout the Mediterranean and slowly working its way east and spreading throughout Asia. This is the standard academic model of how this went down, as best as I can tell. Again, there's no pretty charts with arrows. But in the alternate history perspective, we've got two basic possibilities now. Which you prefer would basically is going to depend on your taste. Either a civilization ended up in the New World long before Columbus and spread this idea. The Sardinian Nuragic people would be a decent candidate, which is why I brought up the European outliers last, so you'd have that culture still in your head. Because, you know, just one ship blown off course, and this technique would end up in the New World and then could wither and die, relegated to only a handful of sites where the people landed. The other possibility is the shared origin from prehistory, aka the Atlantis hypothesis. Now, there's a couple ways I've heard this expressed. One is basic diffusion via lost civilization. They show up in a place, perhaps eons after the disaster that destroyed their civilization, teach people the ways of their culture, including the stone clamps in this case. Now, another version would be the hidden chamber hypothesis, like the Emerald Tablets of Thoth type idea. Graham Hancock expressed this in Heaven's Mirror when he was discussing the Angkor temples, saying the manner in which the King Yavayamaran VII and his predecessors set out building temples implied that they were following a plan that was set out long before their time. So while the mainstream historical lens will easily explain away many of these sites, many of these sites cannot be explained away through the mainstream historical lens, particularly when we talk about seeing a very similar shaped clamp appear in the New World. In my opinion, it causes you to want to look at a bunch of different sites with a new lens, especially places like Korea, Sardinia, and the place in Turkey that I mentioned earlier that does go way back into prehistory. Now, it's tough to say for sure where all of these things came from, but one thing is for certain, we have eliminated a lot of the chaff now, and we still have just a pretty decent spattering of sites around the globe that are not so easily explained through mainstream academic means. You know, I could spend the next hour telling you how to think, which would be a waste of your time and a waste of my time. You've already spent a lot of time listening to me babble, but now you have some information that you can collate the data yourself, as they say, right? So I want to give a big thanks to my Patreon supporters. I want to give a big thanks to Jeffrey Vanderlugt. Sorry if I pronounced your name wrong again. You'll notice the only things I pronounced right in this entire video that were foreign were the Korean names, and that's because I can speak a little Korean. Chogum marhaljalabnida. The Koreans are all laughing at me right now. Anyway. Thank you guys very much. For those of you who are into like doing the Patreon sort of thing, videos like this do take a lot of time, man. They don't just jump off of the shelf and put themselves together. So the more that I know that I will be financially reimbursed, the easier it is for me to continue to do these sort of things and still know that I will be able to eat. I will still make videos, but able to like really dig in and go crazy like this. The more Patreon supporters that I have, the more I can do this sort of thing. So if you enjoyed this and you're the person that considers donating to that sort of thing, there's links down below and you know what to do. Thank you all very much. Have a great evening. See you next time.